It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. It's miserable outside, so you might as well sit home or stay in your car and listen to the show, right? This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here on this very special day. We always love this day in the year. Today is show number one of year number seven of the Van Wee Financial Hour. We always like to just reminisce for a moment about the little bit of a rocky start we had all those many years ago when on the way in to do our first show ever, and I'd been on the radio for 10 years or better, but Adam hadn't, and I was plenty nervous because I hadn't really run my own show and hadn't done it for a while, and Adam had never done it before, so we were having a few butterflies anyway, so I'm just a little bit out from the station, and Adam sent me a message in the car, so I had hands free, so he was able to tell me there's a power outage at the station and nothing's broadcasting. And I said, well, isn't that interesting? So got in here and we were sitting here. The power had gone down and the emergency backup had been expired. And according to the JEA, it was going to be restored somewhere around 11:30. And of course, we're only scheduled to be until 11. So we took that opportunity to get to know Howard and Angela a little bit, which was really kind of fun and nice and all that. It got relaxed a little bit. So instead of 11:30, about a quarter to 11, all of a sudden lights start coming on, computers start coming up, and we were in a state of, shall we say, unpreparedness with things like, phones and just all the little things that you need to do this. So came back. The power came back and the station went back on the air and we talked for 3-4 minutes maybe and then it was time to say goodbye. So it still counts as our first show, I think, because we did say something.
I guess.
But it was funny because there were a lot of people, of course, listening in for the first show because they knew we were starting this and they were all calling and texting and everything.
Where are you?
I'm not getting it. It was a sign of things to come, but apparently it wasn't a bad sign of things to come.
No, it's been much better since then, and the business has grown, and that was not a sign of how things would go for the rest of the time.
No, and all those original butterflies were washed away by the silence, and since then, now it's just like getting up in the morning and coming in here is what we do on Saturdays, so. Welcome to all of you who've been around. Some of you actually remember that incident, I'm sure. You've been around long enough, but a lot haven't. We know the show's growing very quickly, and I think there's a good reason for it because I believe everybody takes something away from it no matter what every single week. I know we do. It may sound like a learning experience only for you, but I promise you it is not. We'll talk about any financial things that you would like to talk about. You know, we get questions on everything from inheritance to investing to insurance, estate planning, you name it. Something you don't know, pick up the phone, dial 904-222-8255. That was it.
904. Yeah.
Yeah, 8255. We'll just talk. 222-TALK. Angela always says it. 222-TALK to me. You just dial 8255. Anyway, enough for the background. Now you're spared for another whole year before you have to hear that story again.
You do that a lot.
I figure it's an omen.
Okay.
I'm not a real superstitious guy, but I do think good omens do sometimes occur. Anyway, I hear there's some sports on this weekend. I'm not really sure about that, but we'll talk finance anyway. This was a really, really fun week in the market. Sometimes they're good, but they don't feel good. Sometimes they're bad, but they feel okay. This one was good, and it felt like it. That's my take on it anyway.
Absolutely. The only way that this would have been a bad week for you is if you had held on to those GameStop shares from last week.
Oh, I have the numbers.
That came crashing back down. But the market overall regained its upward momentum and made a new all-time high. The S&P bounced really hard off its 50-day moving average, going from neutral territory to overbought territory in record time. Ending the week in extreme overbought territory. So maybe not a great buying opportunity right now. So
a week ago, GameStop was at 325. and today it's at 5109, which is a gain of minus 80.4%, as we say in our business.
Ouch. And you notice that the news has somewhat stopped covering it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great story when the little guy is winning, yeah. But unfortunately, I suspect that a lot of little guys piled on to that trade at the very peak and then lost a lot of money on it. Yep. So
that warned every one of them last week to get out.
Yeah, just not the way you want to see these things end, but it's inevitable. Mm-hmm. I said it at the beginning, and I'd say it again now, that company is not going to be around in 10 years. It reminds me of Blockbuster, Radio Shack, that kind of thing. It's just not something that you need to go into a store to do. So anyways, that's my take on it.
And these things, we study economics a lot, when there's a common misconception in economics that it's a zero-sum game, but it isn't. The pie grows, as they say.
It does.
So our economy is forever growing. But when you're talking about money, you know, on one issue, money sold and money bought, somebody loses it for every penny somebody makes, or at least opportunity costs. So you can bet that there were a lot of really wealthy people last week who are not nearly so wealthy this week.
That is true. Yeah, but the market overall going up was a very good thing if you were an investor this week. The S&P added 4.6%, erased the losses from last week, and flipped back to positive for the year. It's now up 3.5% on the year. The Dow added 3.9%, also flipped from negative to positive for the year. And the NASDAQ added a pretty amazing 6% and is now up 7.5% for the year.
That was the one that caught my eye this morning.
Yeah, that was a big gain.
That's a week and a half, isn't it?
Right, no there. Doubt. I feel like it was up at least 100 points every day. I don't think it actually was, but it was close to that.
Quite a few.
The real story of this week has been earnings, though. The earnings beat rate stands at 83%, pretty well into earnings season. That will likely go down if it holds, which it should because we're so far in, likely go down as one of the best earnings seasons on record.
If I may intervene for just
sure,
a second.
Go ahead.
It was 13070 a week ago today. It's 13856, so it was up. Over, on average, over 110.
On average, yeah,
points.
I meant the actual moves day-to-day.
I knew what you meant, but that's why it felt so good, I guess.
No doubt about it. The earnings have not been the whole story, though. Revenue beat rates are near all-time highs as well, coming in at 77%. Yep. Additionally, companies have been raising forward guidance at a high rate, 15%, if I could speak. 15.6% more companies have raised guidance rather than lowered it. It's the strongest rate on that number since 2005. Despite the recent performance in the stock market, bullish sentiment has not gotten out of hand, which is surprising. In fact, it dropped slightly this week to 37.4%, right in the middle of its historic range and down significantly from where it was last year. Bearish sentiment has been climbing lately, although it dropped this week by almost 3% to 35.6, right in the middle of its range too, and very similar to the bullish sentiment. So those are actually not bad things.
No, and for those of you who don't know, if you're not paying attention every week that we cover these things, we don't like bullish sentiment to go very high.
Right. That's usually when the market is about to fall.
Yep. When every little Tom, Dick, and Harry is buying 10 shares of GameStop, then you know that things are getting out of hand. But it was good. And then come back right after the break, we'll tell you a little bit more, because there's really some fairly significant economic data that we need to cover too. It seems like we might be getting ahead of ourselves in the market, but we'll back it up in a minute. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have our trivia question, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Let's talk technology, since it was a really, really big technology week. There's a group of elements called rare earth metals that some of you probably know about, and they're absolutely critical to technology manufacturing. We produced quite a lot of them, most of it in California, for quite some time, but one by one, California managed to do what California does and shut down all the mines. So China then came in and bought up a lot of the rare earth assets that were left. And we have become totally dependent on China for rare earths. Now, we pretty much found out in the vaccination process what an idiotic thing that is to do. So Trump back in a couple of years ago, started doing something about it. So we're going back into some production, mining and production in this country. Now, you remember the big push for the Buy American, Be American, all that, right?
Yeah.
Who got the $30 million contract from the Pentagon to build the rare earth plant in Hondo, Texas? And by who, I mean the name of a country. You know, I don't care if you know the name of the outfit, but what country was awarded a $30 million contract to build rare earth metals processing facilities in Hondo, Texas? And it ain't America, so I cut one down for you, okay? All right, back to, is this market overvalued or is there support for what's been going on? Carry on.
Okay. I'm not quite there yet. I want to talk a little bit about COVID, although this does back up our theory as well.
Yep.
The charts are now really clear that we've made it through the winter surge. New cases are declining pretty sharply in all regions of the country. Deaths per day have not rolled over yet, but are no longer increasing. So they're flat, and that's a trailing indicator. So it would make sense that they would roll over soon with new cases declining as rapidly as they are. Hospitalization rate is also declining sharply. Daily vaccination rates hit a new high on Thursday, but the total numbers were down this week due to some pretty severe winter weather in many parts of the country. The trend in daily vaccinations is now over 1.5 million people per day and moving higher. And at this rate, it's not out of the question that people over 65 will be almost all vaccinated by the end of March. And that would cause a severe drop in the death rate going forward.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, I'm going to take a swag, China.
That was the swag I was expecting, because it's not right.
Okay.
Appreciate it, but you know me. I like to always get a little jab.
I know. I figured the last word was China was doing all this, so I figured we're going to pay China to do it again.
Yeah, you got to tee it up for somebody before they can hit it right. Speaking of what happened?
There you go. That eliminates one.
That's right. You know what happened 50 years ago today?
What?
Your first
program.
Well, that seems like it.
I'm just teasing. I got one back at you. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of frustrated, you know?
No kidding.
Oh, my God. What's going on?
Yeah, we were equally frustrated, I can assure you.
Yeah. Well, the 50 years ago today, the longest golf shot ever was hit, and it still hasn't come down to earth.
Oh, my God.
That mean anything?
Is this another trivia question or what?
Yeah, it's kind of an unpaid trivia question.
There you go.
Alan Shepard hit a shot on the moon, and it never came back to Earth. They say it's the longest shot ever hit.
Hmm. Well, it may land at Sawgrass this spring for the TPC on the 17th for a hole-in-one.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We'd like that. All right, take care.
I'm going to continue listening. Enjoy the program.
Thank you so much. Bye. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was going to take a shot at the trivia question, and I also had a financial question
Great.
For you this morning. So
whichever you want first.
All right, we'll get this out of the way. I'll take the next obvious choice and say Mexico.
Mexico is another wonderful guess. It's also incorrect.
Good.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to comment on that part, but sure, you did. All right. What's your question?
I was wondering, as just a regular old Joe Schmo, if I could have bought puts on GameStop this week, because it looked like a no-brainer. I mean, I get up Monday morning and it's opening at 325.
Yep.
And even an adult like me knows it's not worth 325.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And I looked at, and I'm thinking I probably couldn't have done it because I have my money in a Roth IRA. And they probably won't let me anyway.
Puts are not going to sell in there, I don't think, unless you get some kind of a qualified investor status. They might override that.
I've never looked into that, but if you have an individual account, you could definitely do it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what Nancy Pelosi did with kind of the same thing with Tesla. It bought $1 million worth of, I think, their calls. Yeah.
There's nothing illegal about doing that.
No, she thought it was going up, so she did the calls. You think that's going down, so you would have done the puts, and you would have made a lot of money.
Yeah, and on her salary, she needs the money. I mean,
the poor thing. How are you going to keep her an ice cream?
I think she's delivering pizzas at night just to make ends meet.
Oh, we're cynical sometimes, aren't we?
I'm giving her too much credit. I don't think she could do that.
You're probably right.
Yeah, and one delivery, she'd be gone for 3 hours.
Yeah. Anyway, in answer to your question on the puts, yes, if you're qualified enough to have an account, and that can be in a number of things, but basically a qualified investor. Yeah, if you're absolutely certain in your own mind that something's going down, buying the puts on them, which allows you, for people who are listening, to put it to somebody at a certain price. So
I like that.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah, that's the way I remember it as well.
I can call you out or I can put it to you.
Yep.
Make it personal. Wow. And you can, that way you can kind of figure out which way you want to be on the thing. So it would have been a fine idea. I don't trade options right now, but if I did, I would have done that one for sure.
Yeah.
And I think in the next time they grab a hold of something like this and do it again, because they're not, I'm sure they're not through.
Oh, this is not over.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And yeah, you wait.
Is it just me, or did they, you know, I know they stuck it to the big guys, okay, but didn't they kind of, somebody had to lose money here. Some of these small people buying.
What was it, Melvin, I think?
Melvin Capital, that's the thing I was mentioning, is that you won't hear about that on the news. The little guys who piled into that trade at the end of the trade, and then it dropped 80% this week. So that's why I stay away from that stuff.
They spent their stimulus money, which they haven't even received yet,
right.
Thinking they were going to double it or triple it, because it's never going to go down. I mean, heck,
right,
you know.
Yeah, I'll make
That's
a fortune
the stock
on this.
Works.
Thing. Yeah,
everybody gets rich just by investing in the stock market.
Right.
That's all you have to do.
Yeah, I've got a single share of Enron. I'll sell you.
There you go.
That thing will go up forever, right?
I'll trade you my share of WorldCom.
Ooh, we'll swap even. I like it.
Yeah, and I'll throw in a million shares of the United States Post Office stock.
I'm short that one. Sorry.
Okay, good. Good move.
Right. Take care. Thanks, Ron. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for the call. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you. Bosco.
Yes. How y'all doing?
Great. How are you?
Great day to be a duck.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I want to take a stab at your question. And I'm thinking of the land that's had a great mining history, you know, from black opals to, you know, pink diamonds, and it would be the land down under.
The land down under, he says, that would be Australia by my reckoning, and that is got the contract.
Oh, very good, very good.
And guess what? They got last year's contract too, when Trump was still in there. So his Buy American order was denied by the Pentagon, and this one was denied by the Pentagon. I'm concluding here from evidence at hand that the Pentagon is out of control. That's my conclusion from this.
I think they're flying the wrong flag.
You could be. Could be.
Little known fact about myself, I actually worked briefly for a Australian mining company.
Yeah, true. But they didn't. Well, they didn't interfere with buying American. Oh yeah,
they got a great.
We love Australia.
They got a history in doing that, and my understanding is that they were starting to farm out some of their mining to China too, but then China was, you know, getting, you know, unrighteous with them, you know, we'll trash your economy, et cetera, et cetera. And Australia started saying, you know, giving them the fickle finger of faith award, you know, and I was backing away from China. So,
and what happened to the Australian economy? It was going down while China was doing that. And as soon as they told them where to put it, it started back. It's amazing how unforesightful these people are. Yep. I was trying to be nice. You can imagine what I meant. But yes, that's exactly what happened. Do we have Bosco's address?
Might as well go ahead and get it. I don't remember.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold and let Alan get it before he has to take a break for the news. We appreciate your call. Thank you.
Go Tampa.
All righty. Stay Florida. All right. We've got another minute. That's it. I just want to make sure Alan had time to do this.
Yep. So my point of what we were talking about before this is just that the COVID news is all good right now. But if you turn on the news, all you're going to see is that there's new strains coming out. But they're ignoring the bigger picture, which is actually very, very positive right now for the first time in the history of COVID. there's a lot of good things happening. So just hang in there, get your vaccine, and hopefully by the end of this year, we could really be looking at herd immunity, which is fantastic.
If the if it bleeds, it leads media had their way, they'd be scaring everyone to death right now about all the mutations of the virus. It's no different than any virus. They all mutate. Get your shots, you're fine. I will be right back after a short break. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. He's got a little something in my throat. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
Good, you talk. I can take a drink of water.
All right. Well, I was still working on the market wrap here. So silver was targeted by the Reddit crowd this week and saw a brief 10% run up. They really weren't able to get the momentum that they did on the GameStop trade, and it kind of just came back down to where it was trading
earlier.
It all happened in a matter of, I think, 2 days. Mm-hmm. And the precious metals are they had a big run up early last year, and then they've been trading sideways. And even with that attempted manipulation, it didn't really change anything. However, other commodities are pretty solidly in uptrends these days, including agriculture, livestock, energy, and industrial metals. The overall index had been in a decline since early last year, but it has turned around recently, and definitely something to keep an eye on there. If that trend continues, you could see a nice push in the commodities basket.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them that are under a great deal of demand just in the housing market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lumber and mm-hmm. those types of things are there's even somewhat shortages regionally, not everywhere, but
well, there's some people would like to do rebuild their decks or add on decks in the backyard, and they go out and price the lumber right now, and they say, well, maybe next year.
Yeah, no, that doesn't need to happen today.
No, commodities are interesting that way. What goes up will also come down.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes you just got to time your patience a bit.
It was a really busy week for economic data. There were 30 reports released. 22 of them beat their forecast. Really strong week of economic data. One report that did miss was the ISM manufacturing report, which still posted a solid number at 58.7. Anything above 50 is expansion, so that's really well into expansion territory. The manufacturing sector had been so strong that the forecast was for 60.7. I don't think this miss really means anything.
No.
It's not the start of a trend or anything like that, is my guess. Just something to keep an eye on. But I think it's just the month-to-month fluctuation. The ISM services report came in better than expected, though, hitting 58.7 versus an expected 56.7. So
that was my surprise of the week.
Yeah, that's surprising because the services sector has been really struggling, and so that one beat, but the manufacturing mm-hmm. sector that's been doing so great didn't. So
we're going to talk a little bit about the jobs numbers too, and that was a real big underlier on the jobs.
That was my next point, actually.
I think
that happened on Friday. We had the ADP report come out on Wednesday, and that posted a really nice beat. And typically the two reports, they don't always match up, but they're usually close together. Not the case this week. It was a big miss on Friday on the headline jobs number. It was only 49,000 jobs created last month, and then some previous months were also revised down. However, if you dig into the report, things looked a lot better. Yeah. Average hours worked rose from 34.7 to 35 in December. That really doesn't seem like a big gain, 0.3%, but it's huge. It's now at the 35. It's actually the highest level ever recorded in the report. And it's also the equivalent of adding 1 million new jobs to the economy. This suggests that the actual demand for labor is much higher than the new jobs created shows in this particular report. So it was almost like the headline number, you would think it was terrible. But once you start digging in, everything else looked pretty solid.
Yeah, the press wanted that jobs report of 49,000 to be negative. I don't know why, because Biden's in there. You would think they wanted it to be. It's probably because he wasn't in the full month that this report goes back to. So they failed to tell you some things, of course. That was the establishment survey of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But they also do a household survey. And the household survey was up 201,000. So that and the 174 from ADP are much more correlated. There's another difference also. ADP uses a consistent technology called counting, every month, because that's what they do. They process payrolls. And the government, once a year, between December and January, readjusts all of its numbers for population. As it gets corrected, the Bureau of the Census does the actual population, and once a year they update BLS. BLS updates their numbers, and if you want a bottom line on that little dissertation, just think about it this way. Nothing you've heard about January is relative to December because of those changes. So you have to kind of extrapolate or interpolate or whatever you want to do. You have to kind of take it with a grain of salt one way or the other. It was a good enough report that the market, obviously, didn't take it all badly because it was up nicely across the board yesterday. So yeah. Nothing to worry about.
No, the market.
And the services were huge relative to.
Yeah, the market took one look at that report and I think realized that it wasn't as bad as the headline number Shrugged it off.
And 6.3% for the unemployment rate, down from, 6.7, I think?
Yeah, it was a big
Which
drop.
Is largely due to the population counting and who's in the market and all that. So next month at this time, we'll tell you a jobs number that means a heck of a lot more.
Yeah, the January one is the least sort of reliable of all of them. So.
It's sort of a new benchmark for the next 12 months.
Right.
That's the story.
Yep. So overall, there's a lot of really good underlying trends in the economy right now, and that is why we continue to say that we think this will be a good year. We will see economic growth, and the stock market, while it feels like it's ahead of itself, is looking forward to the same kind of things that we are looking at and saying, oh, yeah, this could be a good year.
Now, what's happening in California today? Restaurants are reopening for 25% capacity indoor dining. Now, that may not sound like a big deal, but look at the size of California.
Yeah, that's huge.
That is a big deal.
It is. I mean, 60 million people or something like that.
Think of the Chicago Teachers Union. Well, you can complete that sentence however you want.
Unreal.
Yeah. Lori Light was having a little bit of trouble controlling the troops there. But all over the country now, since after the election, things are reopening, and it's going to make a difference. Cap means probably Captain Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Okay. Had a pretty good week in the casino today.
Good. You're just living it, that's all.
Well, yeah. You know, I've been working silver. You know, I told you I buy silver below 24, and I put a stop loss at 3% and a sell at 6%. And I did all right with that this week.
Silver is one of my little pets that I watch pretty steadily also.
I didn't realize that the Reddit group was. That's a big hike. I was out of it. I certainly didn't go for the peak. Like I say, I have a 6% sell.
Yep. Not bad.
I actually took a little shot with just a little bit of money on GME and made 10%.
Okay. And don't play this game at home, folks, just so you know.
Absolutely, please. The disclaimer is, at my age and in my financial condition, this is like going to the casino, and I'm not a high roller.
That's right. And he's not quite a billionaire yet, are you?
No, I don't think so.
A billion?
I didn't check this morning yet. Maybe.
A billion short?
Yeah, but anyway, you know, if I make $500, I sell. That's good. That'll pay the drink bill on the cruise.
Sure. We have a lot of our clients who have a little account on the side, and they do exactly what you do, and they understand that they can lose it or double it or whatever. And if they get real successful, some will throw money over into their long-term investment account. And it's just, if you love the market and you like to dabble in it, it's a great way to do it because it doesn't impact your long-term money.
Right.
That's
especially
why
if you find stocks that, if you look at the charts, traditionally move within a trading band.
Yeah, it's one of those games that some people play. And
well, I'm one of them. Great. Well, thank you, Reddit, for silver.
Exactly.
Anyway, I just saw
the news.
Guys call.
We appreciate it.
All right, talk to
Take
you
Take care
later.
Of yourself. Bye. Chuck, what's happening?
Hey, Adam and Steve. Hey. You know, I heard the other caller talk about the GameStop.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was wondering if he should have bought a put option.
Yeah.
And that was unrealistic because the premiums went through the roof.
Yeah, that makes sense.
When it rises that fast, of course. But it, the concept was absolutely outstanding, I believe. But you're right.
The implied volatility of those options was so astronomical that it was a non-starter. I looked at them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad because you're sort of a practically oriented person who would actually say, now, what are these priced at and what can be done? That's why you have to know something about these to dabble in them. And you should learn to chart your options, too. If you're going to get in it, learn to chart them because it'll open up a whole new world for you. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Anything else? Can I put you on hold because we got to go? Otherwise,
sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we're going to wrap up with Chuck. And then Adam has the first in a series that he's starting today that I think you'll find kind of interesting. Chuck, thanks for waiting.
Yeah. So just to wrap it up, I mean, when you start seeing put options or call options at $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, and then expire in 3 days. I mean, it's like you forget it. I mean, that is ridiculous. Those options were priced around the same prices as Amazon's options were priced, and Amazon is a $3,000 stock.
We were just talking about it over the break, Chuck, and ironically, I think that the right trade early this week would have been to sell short GameStop.
Right.
Yeah. Ironic, though.
And we don't have the right to do it. It's just a certified financial planner.
No, we wouldn't
look at
that,
their clients that way. If they even thought about it, they'd be just de-licensed.
But in hindsight, you can say that would have been the right trade.
And you can bet there was somebody doing it.
Oh, absolutely. That happened, I'm sure.
It's a big, smart market out there.
You know, the most successful day trader I know of name is Ross. He's got a website. He's got a YouTube channel called Warrior Trading, and he lost $300,000 this week on GameStop. So if he lost money, I'm sure everybody lost money, or most people lost money.
Well, we'll just call that a little rule of thumb, I think. Don't do it.
Hey, exactly. Hey, question. Quick question.
Sure.
I watch a lot of YouTube videos of what's going on in China and stuff, and it's getting really dicey, and the weather window or the sea level window will open up, according to one China expert, in March. If they wanted to invade Taiwan, which I hope they don't, I hope this doesn't happen, but that's, to me, the biggest threat to all stability, all hell breaking loose, is if China invades Taiwan, in which case our stock market would probably tank. Is that on your radar?
Yes, and so is Hong Kong.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. So keep your ears open.
That's been a long-standing possibility, I think. It may be ramping up. I haven't followed exactly what you're talking about, but yeah, that is definitely something that would not go over well in the U.S. markets.
Yep, you're absolutely right. All right. Well, we're going to run, and we'll talk to you next week or whenever you get a chance. Call us again. We appreciate it.
You got it.
Thanks. All right. Adam wants to start a new series today. I called it the Who Am I? It's actually got a little bit different basis, but I'll let him tell you that.
Yeah, I got inspired by last week by one of our callers. You may remember the call. I wanted to start a segment about immigrants or kids of immigrants who are now millionaires or billionaires in this case today. And because the American dream for most people, the reason that so many people want to move to our country is the opportunity that it affords to people that they don't have in the countries that they're leaving. And we have some clients who have realized the American dream after immigrating. And in fact, I'm married to the daughter of some immigrants or of one immigrant who came here to escape an oppressive regime. So it really hits home with me. And the fact that people can't understand that the ability of America to make billionaires is the American dream, it really confounds me. I just don't understand it. And then to see such wealth envy But the fact is, a lot of these people are really good people, and they just happened to do something that hit big, and they made it. They realized the American dream. There was some luck involved, but mostly it was a great idea and an incredible work ethic. So the one I wanted to start with, I'm not going to say who it is until the end, but at 91 years young today, he's accomplished quite a lot in his life. He was born to Russian Jewish immigrants in Newark, New Jersey in 1929. Now,
not exactly a silver spoon in your
right.
mouth, that
1929,
one.
If you know much about history, was not a great year to be born. And I'm guessing that being born to Russian Jewish immigrants in Newark, New Jersey didn't necessarily set you up with a golden spoon for the rest of your life.
If all you said was Newark, you would have lost me.
I just think that's probably a fair statement. His dream was to attend medical school and become a doctor, but they couldn't afford tuition. So instead, he worked for his dad as a cabinet maker and got a pharmacy degree from Rutgers, because that was as close to the medical industry as he could get and afford. He worked a variety of jobs in his 20s and 30s and eventually reached the position of CEO at a chain store in his 40s. Well, that sounds great, except that he was fired from this job during a battle of control for the company.
Oh.
Yeah. So, whoops. And it wasn't long after he got that position that that happened. So instead of sulking and worrying about that, in 1979, he and a partner went on to found what is now a retail company with a market cap of over $300 billion and an annual revenue of over $125 billion on more than 1.6 billion customer transactions every year. It wasn't always this easy, though. The man spent most of his time in the early days offering patrons a dollar for their opinions on why people didn't buy anything when they came into his store. He would then take that feedback and make sure it was fixed to get the best possible outcome for their customers. So he would sit in the parking lot and offer people a dollar who were coming out of his stores without anything in their hands. And that was to get their just to realize how they could improve their store. So early on, this company rewarded employees with stock options. This program has created more millionaires than we can probably count since 1979. Today, this man has turned his focus from retail to charity. He is involved with Jewish and Israeli charities, charities that focus on helping children with catastrophic diseases, and various other medical or healthcare related charities. In all, he has already given away over $1 billion of his wealth as part of the giving pledge. At his 90th birthday party alone, he raised $117 million for his favorite nonprofits. Despite that generosity, he's still worth approximately $6.2 billion, but as part of the giving pledge, the majority of that money will be donated to charity when he is no longer here. His name is Bernard Bernie Marcus, the co-founder of Home Depot. Sounds like a real jerk, doesn't he?
Yeah, really. And you know that it's funny too, because look at Arthur Blank and Ken Langone, the other two biggies from the old days, and the things they've done, whether you're talking about Atlanta with the aquarium or whatever. But Langone has the Langone Medical Center in New York that's right front and center on the whole COVID thing. And
yeah, Bernie actually gave the majority, or I think he was the biggest donor to the Atlanta the aquarium.
Yeah, in fact, as I hear the story, he went to the mayor and said, I'll do this. I'll use my money, and I'll use some land that you've got right there. And your job is to keep everybody the hell out of my way. That's it.
So, hey, Steve, could I say, and that's the rest of the story?
And, that is the, and thank you. I just lost his name. The newscast, Paul Harvey. Thank you, Paul.
Yes.
I knew it would come.
But yeah, so The fact is, this guy came from nothing, had a great idea, worked his tail off. It worked. So all these things had to go right in his life. But he ended up where he ended up. And now what is he going to do? He's going to give it all away to charity.
Does he have kids?
He does have kids.
Do you remember what the Oracle of Omaha said about his kids?
Not the exact quote, no.
He said, I want to leave them enough to do something, but not enough to do nothing.
Exactly. And that's kind of, I think that's a sentiment that Bernie
would
probably.
He's talking about $1 billion a piece or something. I can do something with that.
And full disclosure, I did work for Home Depot as well for a couple of years in their corporate office in Atlanta. And it's a great company. It was going through some interesting times while I was there, but they came out the other side a better company. So
that was the transition when they'd never had an outside the family's CEO.
Right.
And the guy they hired back then was, as it turned out, an old friend of ours. And it was Bob Nardelli. You've probably seen him on business channels and all that. But he got in there, and they didn't like him because he wasn't family.
That's right.
He was very stern, and he did things in a manner that produced a tripling of revenues and a tripling of income.
So what'd they do? They fired him.
And you know what? He's fine.
Oh, yeah, he's just fine.
Don't worry about Bob. That's what my advice to everybody would be. But yeah, that is one classic American case. And there are, what have you identified so far, five more for the coming weeks?
I've got two more in mind, but I'll probably go at least 4 weeks.
Okay. Well, you know, if you want to get somewhere, go to the place of the least resistance, or the corollary to that is follow the money. Where's the money? In this economy. Now, we got to understand that as we look forward and watch for what China has done to us. We've been reversing that. It concerns me a bit that we're sort of, if I can coin a term, unreversing it. Not good. So keep your eyes and ears open. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.